This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
Well, when I was thinking of how to start this conversation off with you guys, I love that line that woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Hallelujah. I just love that because it epitomizes a lot of how I feel about and think about community engagement and advocacy. First, I believe that the work that this church does, this church community does at St. David, is often about creating freedom for the neighbors we serve and those we need and for each other. Our ministries frequently provide freedom from something we are struggling with, whether that is hunger, loneliness, or isolation, freedom from a lack of housing or loneliness, or a lack of clothing or school supplies. Sometimes it's about creating freedom in another way, creating a place to come into, a welcoming and affirming church, or freedom to come in from the brutal heat outside. Our advocacy is also often about working for freedom and equality for all people. We use our voices and our resources to treat everyone fairly and justly, since we are all children of God. The second thing I love about the song is that it reminds me that as a person of faith, my job is just to try. It's often just to try to put my faith into action, to keep my eyes on freedom, but ultimately it's in God's hands. I have to just keep walking and talking and working, but at the same time, the blessing is that I can turn it over to God. I can turn my struggle over, and that's the alleluia part of the song. That's what I love about it. Lastly, the thing I like about the song is that it's joyful. And it reminds me that putting faith into action is joyful. It's a beautiful, hopeful thing to do. And I absolutely believe that the community we build here, the community engagement we do, and advocacy work we do at St. David's is hopeful, beautiful, and joyful. So I'm Diane Hardy Garcia. I'm the new community engagement and advocacy director at St. David's. And I want to welcome you today. I want to thank you for joining me. I'll tell you just briefly a little bit about myself. I'm supposed to do that. I'm born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. I have my master's degree in social work from the University of Texas. I did a lot of direct service as a social worker before I got more seriously involved in public policy work. Part of the reason for the switch to public policy work is I fell in love with the Texas legislature. Oh, I know. It's not as crazy as it sounds. The Texas legislature can be a beautiful place, although it has been more than falling short lately. In addition to my public policy work, I've run a communication and marketing firm that specialized in not-for-profit and political campaign organizing. Mostly in California, a little bit in Texas. I moved to Los Angeles for love a few years ago, and my partner and I raised our two daughters there. This year, we decided to come back to Texas because we love this community, and it feels like it's time to be home again. I was thrilled to join the St. David's team to work on community organizing and advocacy. Community organizing, providing direct services to people in need, mobilizing people to stand up for one another and take action has been my life's work. Now being able to do that at a faith-based organization with the legacy of service that St. David's has is an incredible opportunity. Since I started working at St. David's, every day I learn more and more from people like you when I meet you and all the people that are in partnership with this church. I learn about the impact this church has had on Austin and how it's shaped this community for over 175 years. This church has launched a hospital, helped establish key not-for-profit organizations, raised millions in charitable dollars, some of which we're going to be celebrating today as we distribute more foundation dollars. It has nourished the souls and the bodies of faithful Central Texans for 175 years, some of whom have gone on to be vital civic leaders in their communities. And more importantly, the parishioners of this church have helped shape this town into a vibrant, open-hearted, diverse, and innovative city, one of the most welcoming places in Texas. And that's faith in action. That's what faith in action is. One of the greatest gifts of our Christian faith is that we have an example in Jesus as a way to put our faith into action, to love and serve the poor, to speak out for the disadvantaged, and to fight for justice for all. President George H.W. Bush, a very passionate and devoted Episcopalian, had a favorite saying on the subject: preach Christ at all times. If necessary, use words. I love that one because it's all about doing. And that's what community engagement is all about. It's about doing. We get to use our creativity to do things about the problems. We get to use our creativity, our faith, to put things into action. And so you will see on these walls right here some of the things that we're doing at St. David's through our ministries. Many of you know all about them, but to put our faith into action. Some of you have helped create these ministries. It's likely that most of you have worked in them. And as you can see right now, when I'm coming into this picture, a lot of our ministries are building back after the pandemic. They're trying to come back. Some ministries have fallen off. We're trying to find ways to build new ministries where we lack them. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So that's my speechifying part. I wanted to talk to you about what's happening now, and specifically, you know, where we need some extra help as we're building back from the pandemic. Right now, there are a couple of our ministries that could use some extra support. Trinity Center, particularly, is in a place where the summer has been brutal for our unhoused neighbors. As you know, this heat has been such a hard thing to deal with. We are completely out of men's clothing downstairs. And so since we just keep going through clothing, because there's very few places for our unhoused neighbors to wash up, so we're going through clothes like crazy, especially for men. We have women's clothing, but we don't have much for men. So we're in dire need of that. Some of the volunteerism downstairs at Trinity Streets has dropped. I mean, Trinity Center has dropped off. And so we need some more volunteers. I know that is a hard ask. There are some people that it's difficult to work there. I am trying to volunteer there on Tuesday mornings to help because they've lost their Tuesday morning crew. And so if you have time to go down with me on Tuesday mornings to help prepare breakfast from 8 to 9, you would just be working with us to prepare the breakfast, and you wouldn't have to be serving the breakfast or anything like that. Because we are dealing with people that have serious mental health problems. And so there is no shame in being afraid of that population sometimes. It's true. Sometimes it can be scary, especially for older people. So if you want to come down with us on Tuesday mornings, we're hoping to build that group of volunteers up. And then on Wednesday, then we'll help build up Wednesday mornings for them. They could use that help. We also are doing a liturgy today at 2 o'clock. We're doing a liturgy and a meal. And I have to say, those moments are really moving if you get a chance to participate in them. It matters that we do a liturgy with our unhoused neighbors. They fully participate. And then we serve a meal. I have been so touched to see what that is like. I did not expect that that will be as moving as it is, that our unhoused neighbors would appreciate it the way they do, but they do. And we do that every Sunday. St. David's takes one of the services per month, and then other churches provide that. But there's just other opportunities to help at Trinity Center. So you can scan that QR code if you'd like. And I put a sign-up sheet if you're interested in doing the breakfast with me, and I will guide you through that. That will be one. Another one that we need, and there are other volunteer opportunities at Trinity Center too, if you're just interested in general. The other is our ramp builds. Our ramp build crew is amazing. They're great. But our ramp builds are taking too long, and the people who have to go out on them spend all day there. And if we could have a few more hands, maybe those ramp builds would go quicker and the guys wouldn't get heat stroke. We need to get more people involved, and we're going to be looking in the next few months to pair up with other groups to help us that aren't maybe n are not members of our church. We're going to just be asking them, they'll participate in a ramp build with us too. We need them to go faster because but we want to do as many ramp builds as we can because the people who benefit from those ramp builds are so grateful. And so we want to continue to do them. We just need a few more hands on deck with ramp build. And the last one is Next to Me. Next to Me is really in need of volunteers. There they are. And Next to Me not only helps fund the upkeep and renovation of our sanctuary, but they help us with our foundation grants, which we're going to be giving this at the 11:15 service. And it's such a gift to Austin. And so if any of you have any time to get involved with Next to Me, it's just a far-reaching ministry of ours that has a ripple effect throughout the whole of Austin. So that's another one I wanted to plug.
It's a dangerous place to work. You
Oh,
go there to
We have some one-time opportunities coming up that we'd love some help with. We have Creation Care Fair, which is by our Environmental Guild, coming up on October 1st. And they just need an hour or two of your time. That's when we talk about being good stewards. We have of our planet and our being good environmentalists. And they will, that's on October 1st. And the Environmental Guild does a great job of it. They just need a few people to help them set up, maybe staff the booths a little bit. And then last, we are partnering with the Urban League's Young Professionals Group to help paint the safe victims of sexual assault room. It's in their intake room. We're partnering with them to, they have a new intake room, but it's kind of in shambles. And so St. David's is partnering with the Urban League's Young Professionals Group to paint and spruce up that room to make it warm and welcoming for victims of sexual assault when they come in. So that will be on, it's looking like it will be on October 6th through the 8th. It'll be a weekend-long project. You do not have to commit to the whole weekend. You could commit to 2 hours, but we're going to be painting, patching, and sprucing up that intake center. So we could use some people for that. You will see us partnering a lot with other groups. That is a goal. And so our goal is to bring people into our church so that they can find us, because we know when they find us, they're going to fall in love with us and we can reel them in. That's the goal. One in keeping with that, another thing we're going to do is we have something called Team St. David's, and that is a group, a new ministry group that is going to participate in charity walks. So it's just to get some exercise, but also to be visible as a church. We're going to, participate in like health walks, like anti, you know, the cancer walks or heart walks. Our first one is we're going to do the heart walk on October 21st as Team St. David's. We'll raise a little money for the American Heart Association, but people will see us as a church community. We'll be able to build community amongst ourselves, and people will see the energy of this church, and kids and families can participate in that. It's just a positive thing to do and raise some money in the community. And also we have an open house for you to invite people to. Please invite your friends to our open house. Another way for people to see us, that's on September 14th, that's coming right up. And that's a very important role for all of us right now to do as we're building back from this pandemic. Invite people to this church. Invite them to our open house. It'll be a great event. Let them see the sanctuary. Let them see our ministries. Invite them to lunch, which is going to happen 2 times a month now. And let them see all that's going on here. Invite them to volunteer with you at a ministry. People do not have to be a parishioner to come here, to come to breakfast or come to a service. And when they come, I guarantee you the sense of belonging, the sense of what they see might give them a place to be. And that's what we have to be. The wider we open our doors, the more we invite people in, the more welcoming we are, the more we will grow and the more people we can help and serve in this town. So that's it. I wanted to now, I know that those of you who are here today are likely people who care about community engagement. You probably have volunteered already for some ministry. How many of you have volunteered for ministry? Okay. All right. So I'm preaching somewhat to the choir. What did you, which ministries did you volunteer for? Does anybody?
Arbor Terrace.
What?
Arbor Terrace.
What did you love about it? What did you like about it?
The thing that I like the most about that ministry is the interaction with the residents of Arbor Terrace. We serve them lunch, but we also spend time.
Okay. You like that? Okay. So you like Arbor Terrace because it's a direct contact and you get to meet people and develop relationships. So it's that direct contact with people that you really enjoy. That makes sense. Anybody else, a ministry that you participate in that you like?
I've been to my house, I heard you talking about having breakfast, I guess that's the homeless guys, and I've done that a lot, it's really important.
It is. So you like the direct contact with others as well? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, well, hello, thank you. All right. All right, well, thank you for everything then, sir. So direct contact, how about anybody else?
Well, I went to Travis Heights Elementary School. We used to have a program over there where we mentored children who were at risk.
Oh.
And I can't say that I loved it and I hated it.
A love and hate relationship.
I get in contact with some of the things going on in our society and how painful they are. And how little I did as a person, but just what great need there is there. And I know now we're doing the partnering with the other elementary where we read books, and I haven't done that yet, but I'm thinking about it. I'm fixing to do that.
Fixing to do reading buddies. We do reading buddies at Norman Sims, and that's where. So you liked, you were a mentor program. I haven't heard about that one. So this is maybe what reading buddies morphed into.
Well, we had to stop it during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Kids Hope.
It was Kids Hope. Okay.
Yeah, you know Kids Hope.
I think Diana. I met with Diana Dawson. Is this what she was talking about? Okay. That makes sense.
So I did the Trinity's Women's Overnight Shelter, cold weather shelter at Trinity Center. Since I work during the day, I can't stay overnight. Usually Jeff stays overnight, but I go and help me dinner and stuff and, you know, set the movie up and things like that. I just like it because it seems so necessary when you're in there and it's freezing outside and we have a place for women to stay. So I've done that.
Yeah.
But I will say, Diane, I first found out they were hiring us that she's going to start out with outreach. She's going to move to evangelism. And she did it. Like, she did today.
You think I
almost did it earlier
one day. No, I was thrilled. I just always feel like that we don't do enough evangelism in the Episcopal Church. And I was thrilled to read. To leave with that.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Okay. Hi.
I started the reading buddies at Brown City Flat, and it is very rewarding. And I like it. And I heard, but I haven't heard more about this, that we're gonna start at Dawson also, which is closer to my house. So so that would be really cool. But I heard some mention of that.
I haven't heard that one, but yeah, Normanton. That's where we are now. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We're still searching for Normanton's volunteers that I know of. Maybe we can expand if we get more people interested in that one.
I guess Kristen mentioned it in church last
week. Okay, I'll ask her again.
Yeah.
I'll try to find out. Is there anyone else that want to share a ministry?
I'll put a plug with Next to New. I'm not volunteering there currently because I can't stand for a long time. I'm back bothered. Mm-hmm. I did volunteer there for 30 years.
Wow.
And you do make a lot of good friends there, and it's fun. And like Chuck says, it's an expensive place to work.
Oh, man, I know. I bet it would be dangerous.
That's
Well, now I want to ask you, what would you like to see us doing? What do you think is missing? Just not that we can implement it all, but I've heard some things lately, and I'd like to hear some ideas of where you think we should go, what you'd like to see us do. That's your cue. That's the softball.
I would like to see more outreach to the elderly. And I say that because, of course, it's dear to my own personal heart, but also because I find that if we aren't able to dwell in the church and get to some of the activities, that it's really easy to fall off the end. And I've seen that happen. And that's particularly key in terms of, you know, community emergencies and things they seem to have more and more of. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to see a centralized go-to place that would help identify people who might like transportation or some other kind of contact, some way of staying. You know, kids of the church, people who live in assisted living or places like that. Another population along that line, completely different, is young single mothers that might become isolated and not able to actually get to the church.
Yeah.
And so that's such a large population all over the city that might be possible to coordinate some of those efforts.
Well, see, we are social workers, so we like systems. That's systems, but yes, we like systems. So, and I have, you know, that has come up a number of times talking to people, in that, especially when people are older and living alone, at making sure that we're checking, you know, it's easy when somebody's drops off, you know, why didn't they come to church? Are we checking? And I've seen other places have like a group that gets together once a week. They become a little ministry. They get together once a week and they call people that they know, and you sign up and you just do a check-in. This group gets together once a week and they have a call list and they check on certain people. How are you doing? I'm just checking in. This is our weekly call-in, checking in on you, and just a social call, but just to keep track of people. And that can work. But that's just something that to think about. It is on the radar. People have talked about it. Is there anything else?
I was just going to say, I second that. I don't drive because of an accident I had. And getting places is a real challenge. And it's embarrassing to always ask people for a ride. Mm-hmm. It cost me $60 to come down and say,
oh, wow.
I mean, I'd rather use my money to give you first than to do that. But it becomes a problem because those of us who want to stay involved sometimes find it very difficult.
And maybe what we do is talk about having a little task force that works on how to put this together, you know, because I've heard it a number of times. Like it's a transportation issue. It's a staying contact issue. It's maybe also having like a little luncheon once a week, maybe making, you know, a lunch that or the senior breakfast that happens at 10 o'clock one Sunday every month, and making sure that we try to get people to that breakfast and go to the 11 o'clock, you know, have another thing.
That would be fun, but I think most of us would rather be home.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then also having some ministries that we can do at the church that you don't have to travel out. Like one of the things that we talked about is maybe for Laundry Love, having people help us get the Laundry Love packets together ahead so that when we go to Laundry Love, they're prepared, and that some of our seniors could do that ahead of time, you know? So coming up with stuff like that. That's a great idea. We got you back there.
I just want to hurt what she said with a little bit of an amendment. Mm-hmm. I think we're really missing an opportunity for ministering to the seniors who can't drive, or maybe they can still drive, but their health is such that it's just really difficult for them to do that, but they want so badly to be involved.
Yeah.
What if we set up something like the Drive a Senior program, where drivers can like have some shared database where we say on Shelby when we commit that we're going to be Sacred Ground,
mm-hmm.
And we're from Southwest Austin, then we can get matched up with the senior.
That's a great idea.
To me, that would be a win-win for everybody. It's not putting the driver out that much because we're already going that way.
That's a great idea.
The second thing is, I would love to brainstorm, because we are really missing an opportunity by not getting to the Village of Triangle at Westminster. There's a lot of, so like Diana was saying, there's a lot of assisted living facilities where they do not get transportation to come, they have to pay for it. And to me, that's a missed opportunity. And next, the new needs to make a you should buy a big van or truck. So we're missing, anybody who doesn't know, I work with this team. We're missing an opportunity to get finer merchandise because we don't have a truck or a van to go pick it up.
Mm.
So I'm thinking if we can fundraise as next to new and the church together, and have it where we can easily take seats out during the week, and then we're ready to go and make those shuttle runs.
That's a beautiful idea. That's a beautiful idea. Well, this is great to just throw some ideas out.
Along those lines, too, I would totally be game for being part of a group of people that got seniors here. Is that means a lot to me, and I've had the same experience many of us have with our loved ones that couldn't get to church. So, but the other along those lines too are the flowers on the altar we used to deliver. And one of the things I didn't get to do it for very long, but is when you deliver the flowers to actually get to go in and visit with someone. I mean, that is such a meaningful, wonderful opportunity both ways. So I could see that being incorporated in this whole different thing.
And we're having a struggle with the flowers right now. And that's another thing that's come up a lot. And it's unclear. We're going to have to talk about it in our, because right now the flowers don't fall under community engagement and organizing, I mean, and advocacy yet. They fall under the Altar Guild. And we're going to have to talk about it because the flower people only have 2 volunteers left. So we need to recruit some more volunteers. So they might come under us to recruit volunteers for a while. We need more volunteers to go into that ministry, or it's going to falter.
So in terms of outreach to elderly parishioners or anyone who's homebound, mm-hmm. what I found really helpful when my mother got so old and I really couldn't get her in the car easily mm-hmm. was the traveling lay Eucharistic ministers. Mm-hmm. And really almost anyone can be, almost anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. Almost. And if you're out delivering flowers and you've got the little, there's a kit you take with you.
That meant a lot to my mother, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, we did divide up, you know, this thing is awesome. It's gotten big. In fact, it's gotten heavy. But, you know, we knew one thing to be a couple of folks near me who wanted me to stop by. And so I just throw a kit in the car and go, you know, I mean, you bring it back when you're finished.
It's a really good, it's a great gift.
Traveling way you first minister. That's the word.
You know, education is very near and dear to me, and I'd like to see us expand on the normal sins, not just to the reading buddies, but I know that other churches do things like teach their appreciation. And so those of us who work during the day and can't go and meet the kids, we can still participate by providing little items for teachers.
Oh, that's a great.
And they also do everyone that does snacks for the kids when they're doing testing. So I'd like to expand that. And then on the flower thing, I will always remember when this dear woman came to my rehab hospital bed and brought me some beautiful flowers. That was such a wonderful gift. So I'm the recipient of the flowers, and I hope we can do
that. Keep that. All right. All right, I have a few minutes left of your time, and I'm going to now switch gears on you. Which is, I'm going to make a plug for advocacy. My guess is that many of you have had a good experience with community engagement and volunteering. My guess is that you are less enthusiastic about advocacy. How many of you enjoy politics and public policy? How many of you? Okay. So I want to just make a plug for that because I know that those issues get it's been very tough lately. We live in a very divided country, and we live in a very tough state right now on those issues. And, you know, it's hard to get in that arena sometimes. It's tough, but I want to tell you that that I think there's some hope with regard to public policy right now, and a special role for people of faith in this time, because, you know, public policy is for people of faith is not really just about a single issue. For us, public policy is really about how we do it. How we participate in it. It isn't really about one thing. So I hate to look at public policy, our advocacy as like winning and losing. Like, oh, we won or we lost on this issue. You know, they won, they lost. We won, they lost. I hate that kind of metaphor. It's more about shaping and growing things. And I love you know, Congressman Lewis's quote where he says, do not get lost in the sea of despair. Be hopeful, be optimistic. Our struggle is not a struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is a struggle of a lifetime. Never be afraid to make some noise and get in some good trouble, necessary trouble. And then my favorite is from my dear friend and an idol, Representative Sempronia Thompson, who is the longest serving African-American woman and woman in general in the Texas legislature. And she says, the arc bends towards justice, but we have to bend it. It doesn't bend itself. And so I love that she says that, because both of them talk about the process and that it is gradual and that change is gradual. And even though it seems like we have all this hard stuff, is the truth is things have gotten a lot better in our lifetimes. They just have. And we have to acknowledge that. And so
we could talk about this.
Yes.
I mean, you know, just it just seems like everything that we get gained is just here and now. So I wish there would be some kind of dialogue about this.
I try to say that because I want us to remember that in a short period of time, so many things have gotten better. I mean, you know, I have the right as a gay woman to get married. I never thought that that would ever happen in my lifetime, ever. I for my daughters, they just have no concept that they wouldn't be able to engage in a career, that a career will be off limits to them. I had some limitations in my visioning of what I could do as a woman. My mother had very big limitations, and my grandmother had huge opportunities. So even in this course of the women that I were in my family, the limitations have changed drastically. That's all changed. And it didn't happen with one law. It happened gradually. And so I think right now what I want to say that I see in Texas that is happening that is very meaningful is that communities of faith are organizing in ways I haven't seen happen before. And so there is a special role for communities of faith right now. I've seen at the legislature, I've never seen this many people of faith there and speaking for trans kids, faith people, you know, mainline churches. They're speaking for immigrants, for the poor, for women's issues, for reproductive health issues. I mean, I'm not just talking about the ones you expect, the Unitarian Universalists. You always expect them. But and I'm not, they're great. And but I'm talking about mainline churches. And this was incredible to see. And I think it's, we see like our churches talking in ways that hasn't happened before. Like even in Austin yesterday, our churches, our downtown churches got together and called on the county and the city to open cooling centers. Reverend Braun was here. Our downtown churches and Reverend Braun were leading the way asking for cooling centers. And their voices matter. People of faith's voices matter. When people of faith get up and talk about that fairness and justice is a faith issue, that we are called to do it, that matters in Texas. It has a bigger impact. When we talk about the need for housing, it has a bigger impact. When we talk about the need for air conditioning, air conditioning prisons as a moral issue, and that our faith compels us to speak out on that issue, it matters. And so, and it's not whether we win or lose, it's about the relationships we make along the way. Because we'll be sitting in a room, or we'll be writing a letter, or we'll come talk to somebody, and we'll sit next to somebody who we disagree with completely. But we'll get in a conversation with that person, and we'll get to know them a little bit, and they'll get to know us a little bit, and we'll see each other as a little more human. And in that conversation, as we get to see each other and get to know each other, I believe this thing that happens is deeply spiritual. We see the divinity in one another. And we might not agree, but that little exchange of information, that little me getting to know this conservative woman who sees something completely different than me, and she, you know, gets to know me a little bit. We see each other as a little more human, and we soften. And that's the seed of change. She gets to know somebody else different from her, and I get to know someone else, and we both change. And that's when the bigger change is possible. And so gradually, that makes the larger change just possible. It might not happen right then, but it makes it possible. And so as people of faith, when we engage in respectful, kind, and loving ways, just by stepping into the arena, we make change possible. That's the important role of people of faith in advocacy, because we do it with open hearts, faithful hearts, loving hearts, respectful and kind, loving hearts. And that makes the bigger things possible. So it's not about winning or losing, it's about shaping. We might not see the changes, but we're planting the seeds. And so we have a very special role. And so I invite you to be involved in advocacy in whatever way you can. And it's important to have a sense of humor in Texas when you're involved in it. Representative Thompson, I have had the joy of working with her. She definitely has a sense of humor. Her favorite prayer is always, "Lord, help me not cuss out all these blankety blank people," you know. And she's also mischievous, and I think you just kind of have to do that, but knowing that this is a long game and that we just do the best we can, and it ultimately, I do believe, it's in higher hands, and we'll get there. And so I just urge you to consider joining our advocacy committee. We will be doing some talking about where we can spend our energy wisely, and we will do it in the most respectful, efficient, kind way. So, all right. So there's some sign-up sheets back there. Is there any more questions?
I do have a question. Sure. I'm curious because I'm ignorant about advocacy in the legislature. It seems to me that the advocacy I hear from the Christian community comes from a more fundamentalist side. Is that incorrect?
Well, there is a fundamentalist, you know, presence at the Capitol, but we have such good, the Episcopal Church right now is putting out incredible advocacy materials on the national level and the statewide. Our diocese is putting out incredible work. I mean, the bishop's statement on what's happening at the border right now is beautiful, on immigration. And I think we have some really good, we have Texas Impact, which is doing incredible faith-based work in Texas. So there's a lot of voices that aren't from what would be considered more extreme fundamentalist voices, and that are coming from a place of kind of love. And there are now some, there's a time where I think Democrats, particularly our certain progressive leaders, were reluctant to talk about faith because they didn't want to alienate people. And now I think it's starting to change, that people are embracing that it's okay to be people of faith and say it. And I think we should embrace that. I think it's essential that we speak out as people of faith, as people of conscience, and talk about what our faith means to us, and why we feel so, you know, why it's important to have cooling centers for our unhoused neighbors. I think what a lot of the advocacy we're going to do right now is going to be about city and county stuff, as we try to get resources for our unhoused neighbors. So that will be what we focus on right now. Later, we'll get into some legislative stuff. We have four main priorities, St. David's does, for advocacy. It's poverty and housing, immigration, and LGBTQIA+ issues, And oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the last one. Racial justice. Oh my God. Racial justice is a huge one. So racial justice is our last. And so those are the ones we prioritize. Doesn't mean those are huge issues. We can just do what we can on those. But those are where St. David's is trying to prioritize our efforts. But right now, I think it'll be mostly the city county stuff where we'll be asking people to write letters, our call, or maybe even we had our city council member come to a meeting this week to talk about resources for our unhoused neighbors around this heat. What do we do about cooling centers? And what do we do about to prepare for the winter? Like Lori was talking about those, what do we do to get more prepared for these cold snaps that just seem to throw us? We need to know what the city plans. We can't just react all the time, you know? So that's some of it. So asking for those kind of that kind of leadership. So it's not all, you know, it's not all, you have to go marching up at the legislature, and it's not all about marching. So if you're interested in having those conversations and being involved with that, if you sign up for our advocacy group, I think we're going to meet and just be able to talk about St. David's gets asked to be involved. One of the things I've learned since I've been at this job is how much people want David's to be involved in things. They're requests all the time. And so people call and ask St. David's to be involved in every kind of thing you can think of. And so sometimes we need to be able to have a hard conversation about, can we do this? Is this in our priorities right now? What are our resources? Especially like with advocacy, is this an issue we can take on? We can't take on all of them. So where does this go? What are the priorities of our church, the diocese, and the Episcopal Church in general? And then if we can't do it, where can the people who want to work on this go? How can we be part of that? You know, it doesn't mean we don't care if we can't do it. You know, we just are limited sometimes. So that's what advocacy will be talking about as a group, and just people who care about that kind of stuff. What is the best way to get people involved? How do we make this issue not so complicated? Because you have to, when you're working on public policy issues, not make it so hard for people to get involved or understand. You know, it's fun, I promise. All right, thank you so much for spending time. Thank you.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.